is so. If you'd like, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 9. I've been reading through Mark, and I guess the message is pretty simple this morning. Whatever you face, bring it to Jesus. There's two incidents here, accounts in Mark that I'd like to refer to. The one I will just mention, the other we will read. And there's a situation where they were helpless, and they brought it to Jesus. The first one we won't turn to, but it's in chapter 4. And here the disciples and Jesus were on the Sea of Galilee, and the wind came up, and it really got rough. And the water began to come over the sides of the boat, and actually, in the Mark account, it says it was full. Well, probably basically. And so they did all they could. I mean, it doesn't really say just exactly what they were doing. I suppose they were bailing water, and certainly they were rowing, and they were doing plenty of worrying, apparently. And finally, they decided to wake Jesus, and he was asleep. And they said, I mean, don't you care that we drown? Or maybe the words that we're more familiar with, carest thou not that we perish? And I thought about the words of the hymn, carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly it's threatening? Is that the way it is? A grave in the angry deep. Well, Jesus woke up, and obviously he did care. And asked, why are you so fearful? I mean, how is it that you have no faith? And that is kind of the subject this morning, faith. Bring it to Jesus. Now, why do we wait until the last moment when we're just desperate and then bring it to Jesus? But that kind of tends to be the way that it happens so often. But anyway, you know what he did. He rebuked the winds, and it became calm immediately. Now here in chapter 9, here was a situation where a man was desperate for help. Jesus and three of his disciples just came down from the mountain. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And here there was something going on. There was some questioning, the King James says, arguing. Another translation said the scribes and the disciples, there was some kind of discussion. So Jesus was asking, what questioned you with them? And verse 17, let's pick up there. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. In other words, he couldn't speak. Soever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples and that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And there's an interchange between him and his disciples. We'll leave that For now, this man came in complete helplessness and desperation. You notice what is said in verse 21. I mean, if there's anything you can do, please have compassion on us and help us. You know, and Jesus had asked him, well, how long has this been? Well, it's been all these years. I mean, since he was a baby, apparently. And I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything about it. And so would you please help us? Well, Jesus implied that he certainly could by what he said in verse 23. But he kind of put it back on him. If you can believe, all things are possible. Now, there are the familiar words then, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I'd like to think just a little bit about those two sides. He said, Lord, I believe. I mean, really, wasn't he saying, I mean, why would I have come if I wouldn't have believed that there was help? In fact, in 17, he said, I brought him to you, but, you know, you weren't around, and so your disciples tried, and they couldn't help me. But now, if you can do something, help. Now, he admitted, though, Lord, I believe, but he admitted, help my unbelief. So, twice he said, help. If you can do anything, help us. And here he said, help mine unbelief. You know, when we ask God for help, I mean, that's really what opens the door, because it's a pretty difficult thing to try to work up enough faith by simply a mental exercise. And so, help thou mine unbelief. You know, it's not that uncommon for somebody to say, well, you've just got to have more faith. Well, that may be true, but I have said that it's not simply you've got to have more faith, but it's you have to have more faith in God. And so the focus is not on faith, but on God. It is not on, by some kind of effort on my part, to work up enough faith to believe. We focus not on faith, but on God. And so here, in this case, he simply brought the desperate situation to Jesus in surrender and said, here it is. Can you please help? You know, my faith may be weak, but it's there. I wouldn't have come if it wouldn't have been for that. But now the focus is not on faith, but it's on you. And he said, help. And in this regard, then I thought about Abram, who's I was thinking about going into that, but I wouldn't have had time anyway. Let me just briefly refer to it, how Abraham is pointed out as one who was an example of faith in Romans chapter 4. And it says that when God made the promise to him, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And it says that early in chapter 4. And then later in chapter 4, it talks about the fact that he was almost 100 years old, but he didn't doubt. He was strong in faith. But in between there, the first one was when he was around 85, 86, somewhere along in there. The next one was when he was 99. In between there was that situation with Hagar, where sometimes we say he tried to, or at least maybe Sarah tried to get him to help God out since things weren't happening. Well, the point I'm making there is he was told that, or it is said that he believed God that he would have a son, and it was counted him to righteousness, but it didn't happen. In between was that struggle, but then so I'm saying faith is a process at times. It's a process of coming, but at the point at 99, finally, it just seemed like he said, well, God, I don't see it. How's it possible? Because when God talked to him at that age, he said, he laughed and said, well, can somebody who's about 100 years old have a son? And Sarah's 99. But then God said, here's my covenant. Here's my promise. My part of it is I will do it. Now, you have a part to do, and that is you're to take all those males in your house and circumcise them. So there's a part, and I've said recently, I think I said it here. I know I've said it numerous times at home. You know, there's help needed, and there's hope needed. There's the part that only God can do, and we come to God in helplessness. But then there's hope, where it's not like I'm just stuck that I can't do one thing. There is that God gives me something that I can do that he wants me to do that I can't do for myself. So it's coming to him in surrender. But in this case, he said, take the males in your house and circumcise them. My covenant is this. I will give you a son, and I'll make you a father of many nations and so forth. Well, yes, helplessness is the condition to come to God. And I think maybe O'Halsby, in his book on prayer, says that all true prayer comes with a sense of need or helplessness. So, the point in the beginning and right now is, whatever our situation, bring it to Jesus. We need help. We need hope. He can give us both. Let's kneel.
Thank you, Father, that we do come into situations in our life where we realize how helpless we are. And certainly we're completely helpless to save ourselves. But thank you for the provisions that you've made in the Lord Jesus, that we can have salvation. And we have our part to do, to come to you in faith and accept that. Now, thank you that we can be gathered in this way, and we look to you for receiving from you as we study your word in Sunday school, and then in each part of the service, in the message, would you help us to open our hands and our hearts to you, lifting up our hands to receive in a figurative way. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.